Well, happy Thursday and welcome to live radio on KSPT KBFI, on streaming live on NorthIdahoRadio.com. And if you're listening on the radio, and I hope you are, you're on 97.1 FM. I'm your host, David Keyes. I did miss a couple weeks and I missed all of you, and thanks for hanging tight. I went home to Forsyth, Montana and played nursemaid to my mom. She had hip replacement surgery, went through all that, and for the record tag, I'm the worst nursemaid ever, and I think that really sped up her recovery, so I think I think the medical community would love to have me help them out, because all of a sudden, it's a miracle, she's doing so much better, and why don't you go home to your wife and family? So hey, it worked out great. So, and I was glad to be home here, because there's no better place in the world than right here, right now, in the summer in Sandpoint, Idaho. So, you know, I was kind of thinking about my favorite activities, and one of them revolves around huckleberries. And if you're from around here, you know all about huckleberries. I'm surprised to know that most people don't know what huckleberries are if they're outside of the Northwest. In fact, for a while, their Lighthouse Foods did huckleberries for some vinaigrette and some different dressings, and they didn't sell because nobody outside this area knew what huckleberries were. So, but I've heard great reports about a bumper crop for huckleberries up Pack River, Priest Lake area, and Schweitzer and all that. So if you haven't gone picking, now's the time to do it. They're big and plump and juicy and all sorts of delicious stuff. And if you think you want to test out a recipe or something, I'll bring it on by here by the radio station. I'm sure that Tag and company could take care of it and give you a thumbs up for sure. So we also have the Festival of Sandpoint kicking off tonight, and crazy days over the weekend. So we are definitely in the summer mode. I stuck a toe in the water, and the water's warm. I mean, we're doing well here. We are definitely in the middle of summer. We have a couple guests today. First one being Bea Speakman from Farm Bureau, but today she's wearing another hat. In fact, well, she's not wearing a hat at all, but she's representing the Festival of Sandpoint board, and we're going to be talking a little bit about, you know, of course, it kicks off tonight, which is huge, but also a little bit about what the festival really means to Sandpoint, and maybe some of the stuff that you probably don't know about, perhaps where the funds go and the mission statement of that of the festival. So I guarantee you'll learn something new after Bea and I are done talking. So hang on for that. And also, we've got another friend stopping by, Max Oswald, the sports editor of the Bonner County Daily Bee. He will be talking about all the sports already. Can you believe that tag? Here we go. I mean, we're almost already into fall practice and getting going again for all of that. So why don't you hang around a while? And we'll take a commercial break. And then when we come back, we'll have Bea Speakman. And again, I 100% guarantee you'll learn something new about the festival when we come back. We'll catch you on the other side of the commercial.
Ritz Transmission and Performance in Bonner's Ferry, now offering new services. Transmission repair to manual and automatic. U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Ritz Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
There's always a fiesta at Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant on 2nd Ave in Sandpoint. Margarita specials on Monday. Tuesdays are Taco Tuesdays with $3 tacos, $5 Mexican drafts, and specials on Hornitos margaritas. Don't forget, every Sunday is Magic Sunday with Star Alexander. Jalapeno's is open for lunch and dinner Friday through Tuesday. Closed Wednesday and Thursday. Join them on their deck. And remember Jalapeno's when you need catering. Jalapeno's Mexican Restaurant in Sandpoint.
How tall will I be?
Can I die from hiccups?
What's antibiotics?
Do I have cooties?
What's toe jam?
Why can't medicine taste like burritos?
Kids have all kinds of questions. The pediatricians at Kiniksu Community Health have the answers. At Kiniksu Community Health, we specialize in making it all better. Take a moment to schedule your child's annual well child check today. Learn more at kchni.org.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
Auto repair bills are through the roof. $3,000 to replace the transmission, $4,000 for a blown engine. And if your manufacturer's warranty is expired, you'll have to cover it all out of pocket. You need an Endurance Auto Protection Plan. No matter what the mileage, if your car is under 20 years old, Endurance can get you covered on the engine, electrical system, transmission, AC, drivetrain, and more. Endurance has plans for any budget. Repairs can be done at the certified mechanic of your choice, and they're paid paid directly with no middleman. Plans cover 24/7 roadside assistance, towing, battery jumps, fuel deliveries, tire changes, lockout services, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Act now and get our elite benefits, including complete tire care and key fob replacement, a $2,000 value at no extra cost. With Endurance, you could never pay for covered auto repairs again, so call now for your free quote. Call 800-291-0376. 800-291-0376. 800-291-0376.
COVID-19 has cast a spotlight on the stark inequalities that drive poverty. The poorest communities in the U.S. and around the world are suffering the most. Oxfam believes we can put systems in place to protect health and livelihoods in the future if we work together with dignity and compassion. Learn how you can help offer safety to the most vulnerable and fight for a more resilient future at OxfamAmerica.org. Sponsored by Oxfam America.
News Talk 97.1. We're here for a good time, not a long time. So have a good time.
Well, welcome back to Live Thursday Radio. I am your host, David Keyes, and in the studio now I have Bea Speakman. And most of you probably know Bea as the mild-mannered Farm Bureau insurance agent, but you know, she has other things going on in her life, and one of them being the festival at Sandpoint. In fact, you just joined the board here a little while ago. Is that true?
Right.
And welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here.
Well, thank you. Yes, I actually joined the board of the festival because I've always had an emotional attachment to the festival. As I think most of us here, we look at that festival as just a great venue. It's overlooking the water, and it's a great time to be with family. And we think, wow, what a fortunate opportunity we have, right, to be here and enjoy such a beautiful experience as the festival. So I've been so attached to it for so many years. So when I heard that there was a board position open, I thought, I'm going to become a part of that. And there were some things that were making me mad about the festival and some changes. So I actually wanted to get on the board so that I could see if I could be a catalyst to change. And things have actually changed in my mind instead.
So what was the number one concern that you had as a patron?
So I actually have a list, and I'm sure that a lot of you share this list with me. I really enjoyed the national anthem. I thought that made it a time for us to come together, stand up together, and just enjoy some local talent, allowing them to sing on stage. I loved the tent. The tent was iconic. It had these beautiful points. You look over the water and you see this beautiful tent, and nobody else had a tent as beautiful as our tent.
Iconic.
Right. Yeah. I loved the fact that you can just put down a blanket, enjoy time with friends. But so many things have started to change, and we're continuing to see change. And I came in kind of with a little bit of an idea that I was going to come in and get some answers and make some changes. And instead, like I said, I got some answers, and I've really calmed down in terms of my, what I would say, criticism of the changes. And I've really become very empathetic. Okay. I really understand what's going on now. And there's a lot of reasons behind it. And that's really one of the reasons why I want to be here today, is to explain why some of these changes have come about. And hopefully you guys will have a change of heart as well.
Oh, B, I think that's awesome. So how about this? The one that jumps out in my mind is the tent. Mm-hmm. So again, all those t-shirts, all those posters, everything involved with the festival had that tent, that iconic look, right?
Right.
And then it went away. Why did the tent go away?
So that was one of my biggest complaints. Like, you put up this thing that just looks like, you know, a big robot. It's just a structure. There's nothing beautiful about it. Gosh darn it, why did you take the tent away? So that was one of the first things I asked. Turns out the tent had a rip in it. Well, they repaired the rip. And my understanding is then when the leadership looked at the repair of the rip and then really tried to understand if that rip was going to be safe for the attendees, they actually came to find out that the rip was in, it's a tent that requires tension in order for it to be held up, right? So if that, when you have a rip, you have a weak spot, and even if it's been repaired, you have a weak spot. If it were to rip again, the tent is intended to actually fall towards the audience. The tent would rip maybe in the wind, and it would collapse towards the audience. So it would be protective of the people on stage, but the audience would then have a tent come down on them. And it's a very large frame.
And you can't have that.
No. So that was a very wise decision. I think we can all agree, get rid of the tent if the tent is ripped, right? So when you come to that understanding, you think, well, that's a no-brainer. Get rid of the tent. It was beautiful. Get rid of it. My next question is buy a new one. They can't come up with a new one. They can't buy a new one. They can't find another
one. Was it custom or something?
Yeah, it was something unique to that time that they were able to come across a tent like that. They actually still have the tent. It's still something that everybody's attached to and doesn't want to get rid of it. Sure. But it's sitting in storage because it's just not safe.
And it's actually the second tent. They replaced one time before.
So then,
way back.
Yeah, and they really struggled with that. But what they've done now is a safety measure.
So, and I think that makes sense to anybody listening for sure. So you look at the layout now. And is it my imagination, or does it seem like there's better view sites coming into the performers now because, again, you don't have that overhanging tent?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes, and it's actually my understanding is that the people who are signing the contracts to be on that stage are much more comfortable on that stage as well. So not only is it a better venue for the patrons to enjoy, but also those on stage feel much safer.
Absolutely. So that was thing one or two or three on your list of, hey, when I get in there, maybe I can take a look at this. What else stuck out? What else have you learned?
Other one that has caused a great deal of anger is the national anthem, because I think it became a politically charged idea that maybe the national anthem was being, cast out of the festival because it became a political
really?
Topic, right? Because football, it had become political, right?
Oh, okay.
But, so I think that people were immediately thinking they're getting rid of it because perhaps maybe the people who are in charge of the festival are afraid of patriotism or whatever. I've heard many different people tell me, but the people who are the most angry are feeling that people were losing their patriotic vibe or their community vibe. And really what it came down to was contract language.
Oh.
So the people who were actually taking literally contractual possession of the stage, putting up their equipment, they actually had to then do an adjunct contract just to allow some other person to get up and use their microphone to use their equipment to be able to sing on their stage.
Right.
And it's not part of their normal contract when they're signing up for a venue. The way Ali explains it is when you actually book a band for that night or a couple bands, it is their space. It's nobody else's space. So when you get up there or you add people walking up there, it's their space and their equipment. And the language would have to be changed. So they were trying to work with their agents and the attorneys, and the attorneys were getting pretty upset. Universally, all of the different musical, groups their agents were universally getting upset about somebody else coming up, and they were having to actually modify the contract language. So it became such a problem that some of the agents said, we don't even want to come to your venue if you're going to be putting somebody up on our stage.
Interesting. And who would have known that was the real reason?
Right. So it boils down to contract language.
And isn't it funny how, people's imaginations take over, like you were thinking, oh my gosh, we're not patriotic anymore. Oh my gosh, it's, but now you learned. And I promised our listeners, too, that they would learn something new from this conversation.
Yes.
I'm going to count that as at least two things I've learned from you already. And again, it's all about perception, or about misconception and learning about it, too. So I'm so glad you're here, B. I really am. I've learned a lot so far. But I think you might have some other bullet points, too, of things that you wanted to address when you got on the board.
Yes. So I think the big issue this year, ticket sales are down. I don't know if it's for this reason, but I want to point out that the reason why you can't bring in water and alcohol anymore is, once again, contract language, but in the form of an insurance policy. And so many carriers were actually saying they will not write the Festival of Sandpoint insurance anymore. And my understanding is they were down to one insurance carrier who would even consider writing their insurance if they were allowing people to bring in their own beverages. So it became an insurance issue, a very, very difficult insurance issue. And if you go to any other venue, you'll notice they don't allow you to bring in your own alcohol.
Right.
Right. There's reasons for that. It's the liability associated with that. And I'm pretty well acquainted with liability in association with insurance, and I can understand why the underwriters would not allow for that or want to write their insurance. So they were pushed up against the wall and said, if we're going to still have this festival, we need to take control of this like other venues do.
Right, and it kind of narrowed down. There were more carriers that weren't going to even cover it, right? You only found like one or two that were out
there. There was one left, and one was even on the fence about it.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was...
You could break your whole festival by saying, no, we're going to stick to it, and we're going to have the national anthem up there, and we're going to...
Right.
Well, then you end up with nobody who wants to be on your stage and nobody who wants to insure your festival.
Right. So I'm guessing that the public took it very coolly. When you said, hey, no more drinks bringing in, and hey, no more food, no more... No. I'm sure everybody said, oh, that's fine, I understand. Is that true?
We're hearing that people are frustrated. When we explain the reason, then suddenly their frustration dissipates. But I think the thing that will help to dissipate the frustration the most is understanding why we're doing the festival.
Right.
I think people like me have always thought of the festival as this great thing that somebody in the community or group puts on. And yes, don't change it. It's lovely. But actually, do you guys know why the festival is here? Why do we have the festival? What's the purpose of the festival? It's a nonprofit. It's a 501c3. Why is it a 501c3? What is it really doing? The whole purpose of the festival is to have a P&L, profit loss, and then that profit goes to our children and music in our community. And if you go to the festivalsandpoint.com, you'll see a tab on there, and it's actually called education. And I was floored at how much the festival does with the money, that the proceeds that come from the festival. It goes to pre-K education. So they're actually, and it's all free to the schools. They've offered it. If you go to the website, you'll see the pre-K education is already being offered to Selkirk School, Huckleberry, Montessori, Kinnicksu, Community Health Kids Club, Lambs Club, and they're offering it to more. So if you want to get in on that, just go. The funds are being held for that purpose. There's a lot of studies about how early childhood access to music and instruments can really help with their ability to develop their power to have a good memory, their power to think. And I'm a big advocate of that. My daughter actually wrote her little senior project on that, and she still sings and she loves classical music. And I consider her extremely bright because she remembers everything and learns easily. And I think it's because of her music.
Sure.
They also have an instrument library, a pretty robust instrument library, where people who can't afford a violin or a viola or some other wind instruments, they have access to those through the festival. So there's a really large instrument inventory. And if you go to the website, you'll see here they've got cello, viola, violin, a bass, electric string, six guitar. How do they come about with this large volume of pieces of equipment that they can send out? It's because of you guys buying tickets.
Right.
It's because of the sponsors of the festival. So when you decide to not buy a ticket because they don't allow you to bring in the alcohol, switch your mind and think, I want to buy a ticket because I want those kids in our community to grow up with the power of instruments in their lives or the power of music. They also sponsor a youth orchestra. That's the longest standing. They started that in 1998. So we actually have children who have a free orchestra, leader who will then lead them in a beautiful orchestra, and you can go listen to their beautiful numbers that they play. Right. Scholarships are offered. So the list is long. So what I encourage everybody to do is try to shift your paradigm of thought when it comes to the festival. Think of it as a great venue to enjoy your family, but think of it as a great venue to give back to the community.
Sure.
Because that's what this truly is. Elementary school outreaches right now, the festival, I don't know if you know this, but they have a whole bunch of interns working for them, putting on the festival right now. How beautiful is that to allow young people to be part of this beautiful venture?
You bet. You bet. And, you know, it's interesting too, because there's also an economic impact for the community too. And I remember the University of Idaho did a study a few years ago now, and it was millions and millions and millions of dollars that roll through town because of people eating, playing, staying, or whatever they end up doing. And so you talk about that part of it as well. And it's just all the behind the scenes stuff that nobody really seems to know. And then you look at a lineup and they say, well, I remember when Willie Nelson was here. I remember when all these people were here, and they're not coming anymore.
Can you speak to some of those challenges?
Yeah, let's do that. I think what I want to do, though, is take a break first.
Okay.
And then we're going to come back. And I think what we'll do is we'll talk about that. Then we'll talk about the lineup this year and kind of talk about how things are rolling in and getting ready for, 2 weeks of music that you'd only find in Sandpoint, Idaho. So we'll take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll dig a little deeper with the Festival of Sandpoint.
It's time to hit the open road, so make your first round trip to Specialty Auto Glass to get your windshield in tip-top shape. Heat, air conditioning, road vibration, or even closing your car door can cause the smallest rock chip to suddenly spread across the entire windshield. Specialty Auto Glass technicians are certified and abide by the AGSC standard and can recalibrate your car's safety features. Stay safe this summer with a visit to Specialty Auto Glass off Highway 95 in Ponderay.
Summer is on at the Rusty Trunk Stores. Check out our patio and lawn and garden items. Dress up for your vacation with a designer purse, gemstone jewelry, and natural fiber clothing. It's cheap. Well, I mean within your budget. A trip to the Rusty Trunk is a history lesson in disguise, or like a fun discovery adventure. There are vintage tools, man cave finds, art, and much more. The Rusty Trunk is open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5:30 in Bonner's Ferry and Ponderay.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my two sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-761-0000. That's 800-761-0000. 800-761-0000.
Why choose Kroc Coatings for your concrete?
Our neighbor had Kroc Coatings come up and do their driveway. And so I watched theirs for a year or two, and it looked fantastic. And I got a hold of Kylie at Kroc Coatings, and she was fantastic. Everything went perfectly. It went exactly as she said it would. The coating that Kroc put on solved all the problems. Not only would I recommend Kroc Coatings, but I have.
One thing people don't realize is our product actually makes a chemical bond with the concrete. Most of our competitors and other products you have to annually maintain. Because those products sit on top, or they evaporate, or they wear off, or they pressure wash off, ours does not do any of that. So ours is making a chemical bond with the concrete, comes one with the concrete. It's not going anywhere.
Upgrade your garage, patio, or basement today with a new Kroc floor. Go to croccoatings.com/radio. That's croccoatings.com/radio.
News Talk 97.1, KSPT, KBFI.
Welcome back to Live Thursday Radio. I'm here with B. Speakman from the festival at Sandpoint, and we were just discussing all sorts of things with the festival. And one thing, we went through a couple bullet points of things that she wanted to find out when she joined the board, and we've covered most of them. But I think one we wanted to hit on was the switching, of course, of natural grass to AstroTurf and the challenges that brought. So, B, why don't you tell us a little bit what you've learned?
Yeah. So as we know, the main objective here is to end up with money left over after you've paid for the venue, you've paid for your different talents coming on and all the overhead costs associated with it. You want to end up with money left over. That money then is used for the resource, as a resource for our children and music in our community. Well, by putting in that AstroTurf, it actually required that I think you've all noticed this kind of white plastic or some different materials are coming in to cover a large portions of it. That is actually extremely expensive. So right off the top, that is carving away a huge bulk of money that comes off of the profits. Just to be able to still use that venue, they basically have to cover it with these really hard, it's a plastic material, but it's more like, it's really hard plastic, and they have to actually rent that every year. And it's not cost effective to buy it and store it, so they have to rent it every year. So all of that covering, AstroTurf covering that you see, is extraordinarily expensive. So by doing that, profits declined immediately.
Sure, absolutely. And they've gotten, working around it a bit, I noticed like Festival Street is now behind the grandstands.
Right.
So they couldn't have hot grease and things on top of the AstroTurf either, right?
Right. So by they had to change things around so it was more cost effective and didn't have to cover as much. So I think that was a really wise choice to put it back there.
And I think it works really well, actually. Yeah. I mean, it's funny to watch how adjustments happen.
Yeah.
And again, if the festival stays at where it is now, I mean, you've got to make those adjustments for sure. Right. Is there any talk at all about moving the festival? I mean, is that something that actually is discussed?
Yeah, so that actually leads me to the other topic, and that is the lineup. So one of the challenges is that we have a very small window of time where the festival has actually leased that space to use it for a festival. So if you end up with a band who gets sick, we had that just recently, they say, you know, we can't do it today, but we can do it a week from now. Let's go ahead and just shift everybody a week. We no longer have the venue.
Right.
So you have a challenge of time. You also have a challenge of trying to coordinate with these different bands. They're usually on tour, and your little window of time has to coordinate exactly with their tour, and that's really hard. And so that's one of the challenges in getting different bands to come and different beautiful musicians to come out to our area. We've got a beautiful lineup this year. We're so fortunate to have them. But one of the things that really narrows down that pool is also that we're competing with other venues. The other venue would be in Spokane. We've got a couple there. And my understanding, which is very minimal, but as I'm listening and taking notes in my board meetings, is one of the biggest challenges is if when you have an agent who's working for a band, they cannot book them in both venues. They can't book them in Spokane as well as at the festival, because then you're competing with the same ticket sales. And so the agents are making choices where they want to book them. Do you think they're going to book them over in Spokane and at maybe over at the, I think there's an Indian reservation over there.
Sure. Northern Quest.
Northern Quest,
sure.
Right?
Sure, sure.
Or over at the INB.
Right.
Well, there's more flexibility in dates, right? There's so pros and cons. And so really competing with, I would say, geographical banding, right? We're competing with them.
Well, we sure are. You know, and there's been a great history here. The festival's been around since 1983. And you think about it, there's been Willie Nelson's been here, Johnny Cash, ZZ Top, Beach Boys a couple times, Arlo Guthrie, and so many more. I mean, it really is thought of as a cool venue to come see next to our lake and all that kind of stuff too. And I think it looks like, to me anyway, it looks like the committee's done a really good job of attracting some good some performers this year. What do you think?
Yeah, ticket sales are actually, we're doing really well. It's down in some ways from the past, but we think it has to do with more, you know, some of these other topics we've been talking about. I think the alcohol maybe is one of those.
Right. So no sellouts yet. I was told that yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, you go back to even August 1st, Kansas. I mean, I'm all 80s all the time, so that's a fun one. What jumps out at you, B? What do you think?
I think you're going to be surprised, but the community night is what jumps out to me. Why do we have the community night? You know what this is for? This is actually to go with the mission statement. Do you see who's going to come to the community night, who's going to be playing for us? They are local.
Harold's IGA, for heaven's sake.
They're local. The whole purpose of this is to take it from cradle all the way to performers, right? So these are local performers who are having an opportunity to actually present their beautiful talents out on a stage that is set up for Neon Trees, Sierra, Farrell, right? So it gives them an opportunity. Why not? We already have the stage set up.
Right.
We talked about contract language. That night is our night. Guess when we're going to be singing the national anthem?
That night.
Our nights.
There you go. Wednesday night.
And then also the grand finale. Guess whose stage that is? Our stage.
Okay.
We're not giving, you know, so the community night and I believe the grand finale, if I'm not mistaken, are the two nights where we have an opportunity then to use that stage to sing the national anthem.
Well, very good. And it's been funny to watch. In the old days, they would hold back the list of performers until Lost in the 50s. It was kind of like this, oh my gosh, build up, sell those season passes up until then, right? But what happened with the advent of websites and everybody else always having the word out, the dribs and drabs are coming out anyway. You know, oh my gosh, I heard that X, Y, or Z was coming. So then all of a sudden the whole secrecy things kind of blew up and went away. So the idea of announcing as they're being signed basically or getting close, how's that worked out?
Yeah, I think that has a lot to do with contracts as well, right? Mm-hmm. Because as they're being signed up, you really can't project it out there until that agent's marketing arm is ready for it as well. So there's many reasons why it's peeling off slowly, but I don't think it's necessarily really for ticket sales. It has to do with, you know, when that we have full commitment and when they are ready to project that their talent is going to be out on the road.
And there are no secrets on the web, you know, it's out there. So
right,
you may as
right.
well.
Yeah. And you don't want to put it out there ahead of time, but I just want to make sure that I don't leave here without saying, please give love, compassion, and empathy to all of those who have spent years and are currently spending years on this festival. I can tell you firsthand, when I sit across from them, they are compassionate, they're passionate, they're loving, they're wonderful, talented people. I, like I said, came in with a little bit of a grimace, ready to tell them everything they were doing wrong. And now I actually just really love Ellie and everybody else who is working so hard because they are passionately striving to give back to our community through this venue.
You know, you look at all the volunteers, the green team, all those people out there who are giving of their time to be part of something bigger than themselves.
It's a huge, I just drove by it on the way over here just to get a feel for it. It's just bustling with people already setting up just for this.
Right.
So please go out and buy your tickets. Don't care who's playing. Please just get out there. Support the idea of what we're trying to do. There are many ways to donate as well. Go to the donate tab on the website. You can actually donate. And by the way, being a board member, there aren't perks. I volunteer 4 nights. I had to buy my own pass. I bought a membership. They don't give us anything for free.
All the admiration of your neighbors and friends, though. That's right? Got to be worth it.
And I didn't join to have any freebies, but a lot of people tend to think it's this cushy freebie position, and it's not.
No, I was on that board, I told you earlier, for many years. We went bankrupt twice, and again, that wasn't my fault. But we found ways out of it. And the thing we kept seeing was the community would rally behind the festival. And I think you'll see that again, too. It's been a change. I mean, again, the AstroTurf is a change. The ticket thing is a change. All of it changes. And there's an old saying that the only person who enjoys change is a baby with a wet diaper. So that's the only person.
Well, that's why I say, please express love to those who are working hard. Please do not get mad at them. Just understand there's reasons behind everything they're doing. They're highly intelligent and competent is what I've come away with. And I'm a I judge pretty harshly on people if they're not really doing their best. And I can tell this group's doing their best.
Well, the front office there too, when you walk in, the ticket takers are wonderful too. And they're all just volunteering their time to be part of our community to help out with the bigger and better things. I didn't know exactly where the money went recently for the festival. And to think that it's really helping our education and our kids getting a better education here in Sandpoint, Idaho, is great. And I've seen people who've gotten the scholarships before and they've gone on to great things too. So you never know quite what that spark is. But by having a community behind something like the festival and helping these people, I mean, it's a win-win for all of us for sure. And it looks like the weather's going to cooperate here. Mm-hmm. We've got some good weather for tonight. Funny thing about this show, though, it's on Thursday, but it's also rebroadcast on Saturday. So by now, there's been two concerts already when people listen to the show on Saturday. So hopefully they had a good time. I've never quite got my head around that whole thing. And people who listen to the show say, figure it out, David. It's a repeat. It's okay. But it's just, again, truly a Sandpoint thing. And it truly doesn't happen by itself. And so if you're thinking about not supporting the festival for whatever reason, whether you don't like the music or whatever else, maybe this might be the year that you actually wander down there and say, hey, I might want to go listen to that Brothers Osborne or something fun.
Don't even care about what you're listening to, honestly. Just get out there and support the program.
Absolutely. Because the cool thing is you'll hear a group that you don't know about. Right. And that's been one of the funnest things I've ever had with the festival. When I was on the board, I made a point to be there every night and to do the whole thing. And I went to concerts that I wouldn't have gone to otherwise. And guess what? They were some of the best ones, too. So, yeah.
And one little trick I have, don't worry about getting there early and getting a little spot on the grass. Do you know the best spot in the house?
Where?
The top of the bleachers.
Well, in fact, they did a study on that.
It's beautiful up there. I'm giving away my tricks, and now you're going to take my spot. But that's where you get the beautiful breeze. You can look at the water. You can see everybody and everything going on. You have the best sound.
You know, exactly right. So inside information on the top left-hand side of the bleachers where B and Dave will be hanging out there for sure.
And don't have to rush to get there because nobody's up there.
Well, not until now.
Now they're going to be there. Shoot.
Until now. So again, if you get a chance to talk to any of the staff members too at the festival, thank them. You know, shake their hands. They're all going 100 miles an hour right now. And by the time 2 weeks goes by, they'll all be exhausted. But they'll have done another great year. So, you know, here we are. That's been a long run, hasn't it? 1983. Mm-hmm. My goodness.
And we're having an after-action retreat as board members. So if you have any input, please give it to us. I'll be at the information booth, and we'll bring that to our after-action report to try to make things better.
Great. Well, B. Speakman, good seeing you again. Thanks for stopping by. I'm glad we rehearsed this for many days before this happened. I asked her, about 2 hours ago or three, and it worked out great.
Happy to do it.
We thought it was important. It really is to let people know about something near and dear to all of us, the festival at Sandpoint.
It's a beautiful thing.
Again, well, thanks again for stopping by. When we come back, we'll have Max Oswald from the Bonner County Daily, almost Daily Bee, here talking about sports. So stay tuned.
July is the time to take advantage of Water Heaters Unlimited's July Savings Event. Celebrate patriotism all this month with 15% off all installations of the American-made Bradford White Water Heaters. Is your old hot water heater meeting the demands of your household? Let Water Heaters Unlimited replace your old tired hot water heater with a brand new Bradford White Water Heater. Water Heaters Unlimited. We warm up your day. More info at waterheatersunlimited.com.
The Forge Artisan Pizza offers a wide variety of pizza styles. Fresh baked sourdough bread, delicious appetizers, interesting salads, beers on tap, fantastic wines, and canned cocktails. Started as a small pop-up, serving Neapolitan pizzas at local wine bars and beer halls, and now a full-service restaurant, The Forge Pizza creates everything in-house from scratch. Only organic Italian flour from a small mill outside of Rome, Italy, and local ingredients. The Forge Pizza, 306 Pine Street, open Thursday through Monday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
For almost 100 years, Adams Tractor has been your trusted partner, helping farmers, homeowners, and businesses thrive with the best equipment, service, parts, and support. Whether you're plowing fields or tackling a weekend project, we bring the power of the number one selling Kubota tractors right to your doorstep. Adams Tractor, a name you can trust, built on 95 years of experience, dedication, and a passion for our community. Get your Kubota at one of our five locations today or visit us online at adamstractor.com.
Timber Days returns to Priest River, Idaho, Saturday, July 26th. Come on out and enjoy the car show at 9, parade at 11, the logging competition at noon featuring the team relay, pole climb, purling, hot saw competitions, tug of war, and more. Don't forget about the pancake breakfast from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. and the all-new Little Loggers Expo from noon to 4 p.m. For more information, go to visitpriestriver.com. Make plans on attending Timber Days in Priest River this Saturday. Go to visitpriestriver.com.
Cancer screening can save your life. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screen. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Come by boat or car for unforgettable waterfront dining. Pearls on the Lake in Hope is now open 7 days a week from 12 to 8. Enjoy a fresh new menu, tasty cocktails, and live music on beautiful Lake Ponderay. Visit pearlsonthelake.com to reserve your table today.
All right, Takis fans. Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, welcome back to live radio 97.1 FM. And I'm looking across the desk right now and I see Max Oswald, the sports editor at the Daily Bee, but your junior year, you're going into your third year of writing sports for the Bonner County Daily Bee. So welcome, Max.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. How's everything going for you? I mean, so here we are, first part of August, really. Practice doesn't really start for fall until a couple weeks, really. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, you're going to be putting out a fall sports preview edition, and you're off and running again. Do you catch your breath in the summer a little bit?
Right now, especially. I had gone back to the East Coast to visit some family and my girlfriend's family in Buffalo. I'm from central Pennsylvania originally. Did about a week trip out there. I worked super far in advance, you know, be able to make it happen. But
those feature stories were ahead and all that.
Tons of feature stories ahead of time and was able to get out of there. And then right now, just this past weekend, most of the summer teams are done playing softball, baseball, all that. So got about 2 weeks here until I start reaching out to coaches for the fall sports preview. And some coaches have already reached out to me telling me when their practice times are.
Very good. Very good. Are there many changes in head coaches for the fall?
You know, there hasn't been too many changes, at least in the fall. We've had a lot of changes regarding basketball around here with Will Love going from girls to the boys head basketball coach, and then
right.
Maddie Schoening, former star at the University of Montana. She's now the girls head coach, so that's been big news.
We'll go back to that for a quick second.
Yeah.
So what's the difference between coaching girls varsity high school and boys varsity high school basketball? If you're
I wouldn't say there's terribly too much different, at least from the coaching side of things. I mean, I always thought the girls play was a bit more methodical. You had to really, really draw up some crafty plays. The guys are a bit more all over the place, yeah, but
right.
That you know, in the grand scheme of things, though, probably not too many differences. And
right.
You know, Will had done it for so long, and he had told me that, you know, he always envisioned being the boys coach eventually one day. He used to be the assistant JV coach for a while.
He
there
coached
too,
my son back in the day on that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, funny. It's interesting, and maybe tell me if I'm right or wrong on this, but I've always been told, as you know, I referee soccer, and I do upper level college soccer, but I also do high school and little kids and all that. And one of my mentors told me the difference between men and women and boys and girls sporting and soccer especially is a sense of community. So the girls and women think more of a community of players on their team. They're like a community versus the dudes are all about testosterone and maybe they'll pass it, maybe they won't, you know, all that kind of stuff. Tag probably knows about this from the football days, but it's more about I'm going to go forward first, then figure it out versus the women and girls saying, oh, maybe it might be better to pass to the left here and get a better positioning for our team versus myself. What do you think of that?
Could definitely be true. Honestly, I'm not sure. You know, every sport seems to be, you know, when you got girls and boys soccer, differences in that too. And yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting question to think about, though.
Yeah, I thought about when Will was taking over as the boys coach, the little bit of difference that way. And you know, we're great, lucky to have him, for one thing. He's really committed to it. He's also a huge soccer fan, too, by the way. Mm-hmm. Sounders all over the place. He follows them. He knows more about them than I do. It's kind of funny that way. And it looks like, back to fall sports for a second, again, there's no reason to believe that they're not all hitting the weight room right now for football and doing the optional practices and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, those optional practices are surely happening right now. Just saw Priest River football is playing for some 7-on-7 in Washington, and I know they're going to have an inter-squad scrimmage on the 31st, I think, of the month. They'll be pretty good this year, I think. So that's all happening, and the official practices are probably 2 weeks out, some sports 3 weeks out.
Right.
I know, I think, you know, official practices for volleyball probably like around August 11th date. And then that's the week I'll go from practice to practice to practice, take team photos that, you know, and obviously we have Jason Dukehouse, so he'll have some team photos too. So without him, I don't know if it'd be
so
possible.
So lucky to have him too. He's so good too, and he throws himself at it. And what a great talent. We're so lucky to have him. But doesn't that make your story look better too when all of a sudden you have this just epic picture above your story?
I know. Yeah. And especially, you know, last year we were able to get the football team photo in there of every single player, and then I had identified every single player in there, and I got a lot of good feedback on that. And, you know, I have to tell everyone, you know, it's Jason Dukehouse photo, like the credit goes to him, really. I just put the names.
All 88 names or whatever group picture, my goodness. And I like how he's really creative on those posters he makes, too, of the sports teams, too. So, no, I think we're lucky. Again, it's a confluence of talent in writing and also in photography that way, too. So as the season goes on, I know you try to update and keep people informed about when the next game is and all that kind of stuff. Is that available online, too? Because what will happen is, knowing soccer like I do, they move games, and all of a sudden, your old schedule that you had out in the fall preview, all of a sudden, well, most of it's accurate at that point, but some of it changes on the weekly to week stuff. How do you best keep up with that if you want to follow a team?
Yeah, you can go on big teams. Usually what I'll do is type in Safari now, Sandpoint High School big teams, and that'll take you to the master calendar of all the events. I believe they do send notifications on when that you can sign up for notifications on when something changes. I just happen to go on it every day, so I haven't done that. But like you said, you know, those sports previews, they'll have a schedule, and at the time, it's about probably 99% accurate. Maybe I miss, maybe something's 2 o'clock instead of 1 o'clock that I missed, but you know, by the time it's halfway through the season, we're adding games or changing times and moving things around with weather.
Yeah,
which is, it can be a lot to keep track of sometimes, but usually go on big teams, which Priest River and Sandpoint have that. Clark Fork does not. So if you need a Clark Fork schedule update, that'll probably only be at the end of the Daily Bee article with their
stuff. Is that where you landed? Next game will be?
Yeah, next game will be, you know, home versus Timberlake or something like that.
Well, in our sporting world here, we have a gift. We've got the Russell Center. And you probably spend as much time as anybody there because, of course, the tennis team played all of their local matches in there, right? They didn't play outside. They were inside there.
A couple times they'd played at, you know, the courts right adjacent there. I guess I call them the courts at Traverse Park. I don't know what anyone else calls them.
Sure, why not?
But they, you know, the majority of matches they played inside. And
right. And how does it feel to play tennis in there and cover tennis in there? Is it better? Is it worse? What's the advantage or disadvantage of being inside?
It's for tennis itself. I mean, it's a great facility to have up here. It is on par with, you know, the facilities in Boise. And we've had historically had really good tennis teams. So to be able to put us on par with them and you know, the schools down south, as they say, it's only going to really help the tennis program itself. I took some photos in there. It's really nice in that aspect. You don't have to worry about the weather or like the glare.
Is it light enough?
It is. Okay. It's actually really good to take photos. And I was taking photos of Clark Fork Tennis versus Sandpoint JV the one day. And they turned out pretty well. It's a good facility. You know, they've had the controversy surrounding it and all that, but
well, it's headed that way a little bit with you. I mean, again, looks like, well, one thing, they can practice year round, which they couldn't do before. I mean, having an indoor facility that way, that's got to help a tennis team because they're hitting in January, you know, and over Christmas and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and even, you know, my first year here in 2023, that spring, I was trying to do some finishing touches on the spring sports preview from the previous writer that I'd left, and there's 3 inches of snow on the tennis courts. It was like March 18th or something. Right. It was just like, are they doing this? They said 100. They had like, not 100, but maybe like 50 kids inside a gym and trying to hit like tennis balls off the wall. Like, you know, it's crazy.
And Coach Kent has been known to get people out there shoveling those things off too outside.
Yep, they do.
So now they don't need to worry about it, which is probably a good thing. So you alluded to the controversy, but it's more like an opportunity probably to see how to best use that facility. And it's cavernous. It's huge, isn't it, for one thing?
Yeah, that's right. It's massive. I don't even know how many courts. It's big, though.
As far as you can see, almost. And so do you see having other sports in there, perhaps? Probably recreational, not high school level, but like basketball in there. What else could they best use that facility for?
Yeah, I don't know how it was all, the structure was all built. To me, it would make sense if they had those like retractable hoops that would come down and raise back up to the ceiling and turn the, you know, put some lines of where it would be a court in there. That would make sense to me. I'm not sure if that's possible with how it was built. I do know they are, I don't know if you knew this, they're putting batting cages in there. And I think they are planning to do a bit more with the facility now. I'm not sure about how multi-sport it will become. I don't think the city council kind of took that route. And then they'd revisited the issue and said they're kind of just going to go forward with what it is. So,
right.
I think it has potential to have multiple sports in it.
To be determined, I guess, then, too. Yeah. And probably no varsity levels, anything else other than tennis, maybe. And I don't think pickleball will ever become a varsity sport here. But
I think it'd be good to have some, like, you know, recreation basketball in there and some other things. It's kind of similar to a facility that I had played recreation basketball in. They have all those courts that come down. And there's four teams playing at one time.
And it's great flooring that way, too. It really, truly is. Well, Max, thanks for your time today. It was a little bit short, but I just wanted to catch up with you and see how things are looking as you roll into your junior season of covering sports around here. And he's always available. I'm sure you can find him online, email for sure, if you have any questions or comments or suggestions on things.
Sure.
Max has always been open for that. And we appreciate having you in our community and keep up the great work. So, and I want to thank all of you for listening to us this week. We'll be back next week with some guests that looks like we've got Rob Talbot coming in from the Panada and a few other ones coming in, but stay tuned, and we have a great week at the festival. If you get a chance, as B. Speakman said, go down there and have some fun. So we'll talk to you next week. Take care.